Amen. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be reading verses 33 through 37 in just a moment. We're continuing our series tonight, Watch Your Mouth. And tonight's message is Think Before You Speak. Think before you speak. I read about a man that was flying from San Francisco to Chicago. And 5 minutes before takeoff, a gate agent from the airline came on board the plane and said, "Sir, get your bags and come with me." He got his bags out of the overhead bin and he followed the gate agent to the jetway and he kept asking, "Why? Is this a random security check or something?" And she said, "The captain has refused to have you on board this flight." In the terminal, she pointed to the row of black vinyl seats closest to the gate and she said, "Sit there and a supervisor will come speak to you momentarily." Soon, four uniformed police officers with revolvers on their hips arrived and asked, "Sir, do you know why you're here?" "No," he replied, I was hoping somebody would tell me." They said, "Isn't there anything you said that could cause you to be here today?" Suddenly it hit him. His friend had been ordered out of the line earlier for an additional security check. And when his friend later boarded the plane, he asked, "Why were you stopped? Was it your beady terrorist eyes or explosives?" His friend was shaking his head quickly, trying to get him to shut up, but he'd already said it. And he knew it was stupid, but there was no way of taking it back. And another passenger had overheard and reported it. So he explained to the police officers that he was just joking with his friend and he knew that it was stupid and he kept apologizing. But those few careless words were the cause of him missing his flight and nearly being arrested and banned from ever flying again. Thankfully, this time, they let him off with just a stern warning. Now, we live in a country where freedom of speech is prized and highly valued. People are free to say virtually anything, as we are well aware, anywhere, anything, anytime. But even that liberty has limits, as this man in the airport realized. And as Christians, we need to realize that we are not free to blurt out whatever we think or feel. Jesus cautions us about the high cost of careless words in Matthew 12, verses 26 through 37, telling us that we will one day have to give account to God and be judged for every careless word that we speak. Now, it's important to take note the context in which Jesus spoke these words. The religious leaders of the day had condemningly criticized Jesus' disciples for taking grain out of the field and eating it on the Sabbath day. It violated their man-made religious laws. And they were not pleased when Jesus quoted them from the Old Testament scripture in Habakkuk 6:6 to remind them that God did not desire mere outward religious rituals, but a changed heart. And then he declared himself the Lord over the Sabbath. In response to their criticism, they became infuriated as Jesus tried to drive his message home by healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And this outraged the religious leaders even more, who then began to conspire against Jesus. Jesus quickly left the area so as to diffuse the mounting tensions for the time. But he continued to fulfill the ministry the Father had given him, healing the sick and delivering the oppressed. And during this time, a blind and mute demon-possessed man was brought to Jesus and he healed him. And this dramatic ministry prompted the people to begin to publicly speak about Jesus as the Messiah. So the religious leaders were even more infuriated. And they began to look for ways to discredit Jesus. And so they began to accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, another demon. So they're saying Jesus is casting out demons by the power of the devil. Didn't even make sense. And as a result, Jesus cautioned them against committing what he described as the unpardonable sin. Because they had become so hardened in their heart that they were rejecting the very work of God's grace, the miracles that they were seeing that were meant to draw them to Jesus. And they were rejecting those works by attributing them to the devil. And it is in this context that we find Jesus' warning in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes, that's what he's saying. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a very sober warning to all of us. In these words of Jesus, the one who will one day judge the whole world declares that we will one day stand before him. Every single one of us will stand before him and give account for every careless, some versions say idle, for every careless word, every thoughtless word spoken on judgment day. Now let me ask you a question. Who among us has never spoken a careless word? Who among us has never said something without thinking about it, and it just came out of our mouth, and the moment it came out, we knew we shouldn't have said it. Careless words. We are all guilty. And for that reason, this should be a message of great interest to all of us. We want to look tonight at what careless words are and why they are so important to God. Careless words matter to God, and they should matter to us. God takes our words very seriously, and so should we. You see, the Pharisees could not hold back on their jealousy and anger towards Jesus. And what flowed from their lips was a flood of blasphemous criticisms, accusations, and judgments. The religious elite spouted careless words filled with anger, judgment, and evil insult. The religious elite. The religious sometimes can be the most guilty of speaking careless words. When I talk about the religious, I'm talking about people who have churchianity, not necessarily Christianity. They go to church every Sunday. They carry a 50-pound Bible. They say amen and hallelujah, but they've got a religious spirit. They're very judgmental and critical of others, and they often speak careless words. And in these verses, Jesus turned the very words of the religious leaders back against them. They spoke out of raw emotion, and they thought that they were justified in saying what they said, but he said that they would be judged and condemned by their own words. And one thing that we find in this passage, in the words of Jesus, is that everything we say matters to God. Everything we say matters to God. Now, instead of the Greek word logos, which would describe a reasoned statement, Jesus uses the term rhema. These are two different Greek words that are translated word or utterance or a spoken communication. So logos is a reasoned statement, but Jesus uses the word rhema, which refers to a casual utterance, just something we blurt out. We didn't think about it beforehand. Careless or idle words refer to words that are spoken without thinking. They are spoken rashly or carelessly. They are spoken out of the emotion of the moment. And today, with social media, it is easier than ever in the heat of emotion to type some careless words, hit post, and before you know it, you have uttered careless words to hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people. And you may go back in and regret it and delete your post, but people have already seen it. I have a power washer at home to do my sidewalks and patios and what have you. And the instructions warn that before the engine is engaged, the water must be turned on. God's instruction manual, the Bible, warns that before our mouth is engaged, our mind needs to be turned on. We need to think before we speak. Careless words are thoughtless words. No consideration has been given as to how what we say might impact the listener or whether what we say might dishonor God. Careless words are spoken in the moment without thought. They may be spoken in moments of frustration or anger or stress, or they may be spoken out of ignorance or bad habit. It's the kind of utterance that if someone was hurt by it and brought it to our attention, we might say, "Oh, I didn't really mean that." Or, "It was just a joke, I was just kidding." Or we might try to brush them off and excuse ourselves, saying, "Don't take everything so seriously. You're too sensitive." We've never said that, have we? But the truth is that God takes it seriously, and so should we. God records everything we say. Every word. Have you ever confronted someone about something that they said and they either deny that they said it, or they try to backpedal and say that they said something different than what you know that they said? You ever experienced that? And in those moments, have you ever wished that you had a recording of what they said so that you could hit play and play it back and say, "See, that's exactly what you said." And the issue would be settled there. This is not a political statement, but a while back, you might remember, the former director of the FBI, James Comey, was scheduled to testify before an investigative committee in Washington, and the president suggested that there might be some recordings of their conversation. And the committee, the investigative committee, was even threatening to subpoena the recordings. Now, the president later came out and I think he somehow said they didn't exist, but that he was threatening it. It was a ploy to get Comey to tell the truth. Well, those recordings didn't exist. But the fact is that recordings do exist of everything we say. Everything we have ever said, God records it all. And on the day of judgment, that record will be brought forth, and it will either justify us, prove us righteous, or it will condemn us. Now, knowing that God is recording every word that we say, that should give us great pause to take care what we say. It's awful quiet in here now. Now, secondly, careless words matter because they reveal our character. Look at verse 34, beginning in the second part of the verse through into verse 35. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. So what he's saying is, the words that we speak reveal the condition of our heart. Folks, if you've got a dirty old moldy sponge in your kitchen and you squeeze it, what's going to come out of it? Dirty water. Do you have a clean sponge and you squeeze it, what's going to come out of it? Clean water. If the heart is clean and you squeeze us, what's going to come out? Clean words, pure words, honoring words. But if the heart is unclean, unrighteous, and you squeeze us, somebody crosses us, somebody does something we don't like, something happens that offends us, we get squeezed, then what's going to come out? Some evil words, some unclean words. You see, the character of a person's heart is revealed by the quality of a person's words. Our words betray our heart. We can come in here 1 minute and have our hands upraised, you know, God is greater, God is greater, untie my bow tie, Honda, Yamaha, Suzuki, you know, talking in tongues and everything. And then we go out here on the parking lot and somebody pushes us and says something we don't like or offends us in some way, and the next minute there's some other stuff coming out of our mouth and it's not the Holy Spirit saying it. Amen. You know, Jesus's words here are very plain and easily understood. A heart full of good treasure will be evidenced in the good words, the encouraging words, the comforting words, the uplifting words, the positive words, the loving words, the kind words that a person says. And a heart full of evil treasure will be manifested in evil words and actions, unkind words, critical words, words that tear down, words that demoralize, that hurt. See, the kind of words we speak reveal the condition of our heart. And of course, you know, when we speak of the heart today, it refers to the seat of our emotions or the source of our feelings. But in the Bible, the heart figuratively represented the seat of our mind, our thoughts, our will. And our mind governs or controls our words. Out of the abundance of the heart, again, that word heart meaning our mind, our will. Out of the abundance of our mind, the mouth speaks. Our words and actions are the fruit of our thoughts and our values. So if a person bears evil fruit or speaks evil words, their heart is evil. Understand, we're not talking about an occasional cross word or utterance of anger, criticism or judgment, or gossip or some unkind humor. But when there is a recurrence, you see, because we all slip because we're all human. And James said, if we can control our tongue completely, then we have a perfect life. And none of us are there yet. So we're all going to slip on occasion. But when there is a pattern, when there is a recurrence of this type of speech, then it is a revelation of that person's character. What comes out of a person's mouth defines who a person is. On another occasion, Jesus said, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man." So it's what comes out of the mouth that declares that a person is unclean or unrighteous. is what Jesus is saying. You see, the character of a person's heart is related to the quality of a person's words. Now, the religious leaders, to justify themselves and relieve their own guilty conscience, would try to excuse themselves in some way. And religious people do that today as well. And they, religious people today, in trying to justify themselves, would say something like, well, God knows my heart. Have you ever said that? Or have you ever heard someone say that? I know I have. And that statement is an attempt to reassure themselves that though their words and actions may have been wrong, they may have been misunderstood by people, but God knows their heart. And their heart is truly good. So the problem is not them. The problem is that people are misunderstanding them, but that God really knows their heart. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says God does know your heart, and he knows it by your words and your actions. Now, what he's saying is that there's a direct connection between our heart and our mouth. You know that old song, the neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. Well, in this case, it's the mouth is connected to the heart. Don't go by my singing, but anyway, just want to see if you're awake. There's a direct connection between the mouth and the heart. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good words, good treasure. From a good heart will flow a wealth of encouraging and uplifting words, kind, gracious, loving, words that are wise, words that are true, words that are kind, words that bring blessing, words that communicate scriptural truth, words that praise God. That's what's going to flow out of the treasure of a good heart. And a person with an evil heart brings forth evil words. What are those prideful words, boasting words, gossiping words? Did you hear about Sister Sananthi Sue? Do you know what she did? She was spotted with a man at Roadhouse Grill. Let's pray for her so that we can spiritualize it. Slanderous words, critical words, self-righteous words, judgmental words, demeaning words, divisive words, angry words, hateful words. These are all the things that flow out of the evil treasure of an evil heart. James 3:11, in speaking of the inability to use our tongue to curse man and praise God, questions, does a fountain bring forth both sweet water and bitter? And what he's saying, it can't. If a heart is truly godly, then the speech is going to be godly. A godly heart cannot bring forth bitter water or bitter speech. The mouth is the outflow of the heart, and the two are directly related. Jesus emphatically states, a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit, and we are known by our fruit. We are known by our fruit. If you look at the fruit of your words, what kind of tree are you? You see, I can look out my back window, and my neighbor behind me has two avocado trees and a mango tree. I get the overflowing blessing of what falls in my yard. But anyhow, during the season when it blooms, all I have to do, the rest of the time, if I was just passing by, I might not recognize what kind of tree it was. But all I have to do is look out there during season and see the avocados and the mangoes, and I immediately know that's an avocado tree, that's a mango tree. How do I know it? Because I see the fruit. Amen. Amen. And if you look at the fruit of your words, what kind of tree are you? A godly tree, a righteous tree, a holy tree, a pure tree, a Christ-honoring tree? Or are you an evil tree a tree that brings reproach upon the testimony of Christ's name. You know, I'm constantly shocked and grieved, and I'm not perfect. I make mistakes in this area as well, but I'm constantly shocked and grieved by the way people who have been in church for years speak at times. I have heard women publicly speak in a manner that belittles their husband before others. Right here in this church. And I'm not preaching this to point anybody out. I'm just saying over almost 30 years of ministry, these are things that I have seen. Okay? I have heard husbands speak harshly to their wives in front of others. And it's wrong whether you do it privately or publicly anyhow. I have experienced people speak very ugly criticisms and judgments. I have seen people write very mean-spirited words to attack one another on social media. A while back, I had to remind two that we're going back and forth. We're supposed to be Christians, ladies. And what kind of testimony is this to the world? You're publishing it where everybody can see it. And in all these cases, these people profess to be Christians. But if you just looked at the fruit of their words, what kind of tree do their words indicate that they are? Jesus' sober warning about the seriousness of our words and the judgment they will bring is intended to provoke change. Jesus said, make the tree good and its fruit good. And there's only one way to do that. It's not by trying to change our speech, because we can try to change it. But if the heart doesn't change, it's going to come out somewhere. It's kind of like putting on a girdle when you're overweight. You hold it in one place, but the fat's going to pop out somewhere else. Graphic image, but it lets you know that's how the flesh operates. Amen? If you don't deal with the heart, you try to hold in the behavior one area, it's going to spill out somewhere else. Amen? So it's not by trying to change our speech. Okay, I'm not going to say that anymore. Okay, I'm not going to say that. No. It's by allowing him to have control of our heart. Now, that ought to start at salvation when we are made new in him. We're a new creation. All things are passed away. The old way of speaking is included in that. Right. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But then there's a day-by-day surrendering ourselves to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Every single day. You know, I already told you my testimony about cursing as I grew up in a home where my parents were not serving the Lord, and particularly my father had a habit of cursing in English and in Arabic. I am not fluent in Arabic, but I do know a lot of words I should not know. So I can readily tell you if somebody is cursing in Arabic. But I shared my testimony with you about how God convicted me of that from that passage in James 3. Where it says, can a fountain bring forth both good water and evil? How can you curse God and how can you praise God and curse man at the same time? And God changed me in that area. But another area I had to have God change me in is that my father, thank God he came to Christ later on in life, and God greatly changed him. And he sat in my living room one evening just a few years before he passed with tears running down his face. And he apologized and said, I'm sorry for the way that I treated you. Growing up, but he had a very perfectionist spirit, and he was very judgmental. And I grew up with a broken self-esteem, not knowing why, but later on God showed me, and it was because of all the put-downs. You're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, you're fat, you're this, you're that, you're clumsy, and this was constantly ingrained in me, and God had to do a healing in me of my self-esteem later on in life. I didn't even know I had a problem, but God had to show me where my shyness and inhibition came from, and it was from that broken self-esteem. But beyond that, God had to do a work in me to change the way I speak. Because if you grow up with judgmentalism and criticism, that is the way that you learn to communicate to others as well. And I've had to have God change me. And I've had to intentionally pray for God to change me. And so now I try to be very intentional about speaking words of encouragement to others with the help of the Holy Spirit. And God has changed me tremendously. I'm not 100% there. We're all a work in progress. But it's recognizing that this is an area in our life that needs to be changed, and then bringing it under the control of the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I can't do this myself. I need you to change me. And that may be a prayer that we have to pray 1,000 times until it becomes natural for us to speak in a different way. I was speaking with a young lady that grew up in our church the other day, and they have since moved away. Her parents have since moved away many years now, so you don't know who they are. They had a very unhappy marriage, and the two of them were always very sarcastic and critical and just at each other, and their marriage was troubled for many years, and unfortunately they have since divorced and went their separate ways. But this young lady grew up in that environment, and even as a teenager growing up in this church, she had this mouth that could just slice and dice you. And we were talking with her the other day, and God has done a great work in her. And she said it was really by being around our leadership and what have you that God began to show her a different way of speaking. Because she said that was the only way I had grown up with, and that was the only way I knew to communicate. And God had to begin to show me and teach me that that was not an appropriate way to speak to others. And she's a wonderful young lady now, and God has done a tremendous work in her. But the way that we grow up often shapes the way that we communicate. And just because that's the way we are doesn't mean that the way we are is pleasing to God. And we have to be willing to recognize those areas in our life that need to be changed and bring them under the control of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, make the tree good and make the fruit good. And we have to do that by surrendering to the control of the Holy Spirit, by saturating our mind with the Word of God. That's another way. The more you saturate yourself with the Word of God, the Bible says our mind is renewed. And if our mouth speaks out of the abundance of our mind or our thoughts, we need our thoughts renewed. And when our thoughts are renewed, our words will change. Thirdly, careless words matter because our words will judge us. Look again at verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I want you to look at this. Our words will justify us. What does the word mean, justify? It means to declare righteous. Our words will declare us righteous, or they will declare us guilty or condemned. So in the first part, our words will justify us. Is Jesus saying that our words can save us? If he's when we get saved, the Bible refers to that as justification. We have been justified. We have been declared just as if we'd never sinned, declared righteous. So is Jesus saying that by our words we can be saved? Of course not, because we are saved by grace through faith. But our words are evidence of the genuineness of our salvation. Our words are proof of whether or not we are truly saved. They will reveal whether or not we have been made a new creation and we're walking under the control of the Holy Spirit. Our words reveal whether or not Christ is living in us, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Because if Christ is living in me, then my mouth can't be nasty and judgmental and critical. A transformed heart will transform our speech and our actions. By your words, you will be justified. It means that our words serve as the outward evidence of our salvation. And then he says our words will condemn us. They will either justify us or they will condemn us. If a person's words are angry, hateful, critical, judgmental, careless, it reveals an unregenerate heart, an unrenewed heart, a heart that has not been made new by the Spirit. So those words reveal the sinful fleshly nature that is under the dominion of Satan is still in control of that person's life. So their words condemn them. And I want you to remember, Jesus was speaking to religious people who went to the temple regularly. And he's saying, your words will justify you or your words will condemn you. We could say today, Jesus was speaking to church people. On judgment day, God will use our words to judge us. When the police arrest a suspect, they are required to read them something called their Miranda rights, which say, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Jesus is saying to us spiritually, you have the right to remain silent because anything you say can and will be used against you on judgment day. So what should we do? First of all, we need to receive the word that is being preached and say, God, show me, do I have a problem in this area? And as he reveals it to us, then we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, change me. Take control of me in this area. Cleanse my heart from every evil influence so that my heart will be clean and my words will be clean. My heart will be pure. My words will be pure. My heart will be loving. My words will be loving. My heart will be kind. My words will be kind. My heart will be godly. My words will be godly. Change my heart, O Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before your word. And Lord, none of us is perfect in regard to the control that we have over our words, over our mouth. And if any of us claim to be perfect in this area, we make you a liar because you've told us that we're not perfect in this area. So we humble ourselves before your word. And we ask you to try our hearts and show us, Lord God. Show us in the area of our words anything that is displeasing to you in the way that we speak. And Lord, as you show it to us, make us aware of it. And as you show it to us, Lord, we confess it. We repent of it because we don't want anything in our life that's not pleasing to you. And we surrender to you and we say, change our heart, O God. Because it's not a mouth issue, it's a heart issue. So change our heart, O God. Take complete control. Take complete control of our heart. Make us new in every way. Would you just take a moment right where you are? Talk to God. And if this is an area that you need to grow in, that you need to change in, invite him to change you. Because this is an area we all need his help to change. Jesus, cleanse our hearts, O God, from old ways of thinking, from old ways of reacting, speaking. Give us a new heart, and renew within us a right spirit so that the tree and the fruit will be good and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.